It's summer, and time for another VIP of the Month Spotlight presentation for July 2020. This month in the Spotlight is Andrea DeClotz from Southern California. To delve into her fascinating life, here is our host, Teresa Rose.
Welcome, everyone, to VIP of the Month Spotlight for the month of July. And tonight we have our own cat mom, Andrea DeClotz.
Come out, come out, you pretty kitten. We will serenade the moon.
Not meow.
Come out, come out, my pretty kitten. We will sing a little tune.
Not meow.
Oh, come on.
When the folks got home tonight, at 12 or thereabout, they locked the door and they forgot to put me out.
Come out, come out, come out, my pretty kitten. Meow.
Not meow.
Again, welcome to VIP of the month of July. Welcome, Andrea. It is great to have you this evening. Andrea DeClotz was born March the 2nd, 1960, and she lives in Orange, California. Congratulations, Andrea, on being VIP of the month of July.
Thank you, Teresa Rose.
Andrea, tell us a little bit about where you were born and raised.
I was actually born in Glendale, California, which is in the southern part of our large state. My dad was an attorney, and he had finished law school, and at that time, in the late 50s, early 60s, they only offered the bar exam twice a year, once in the north and once in the south. Well, he had failed the northern test, so he had to retake the test, and my grandparents lived in Glendale, which is just north of Los Angeles. And so my parents were staying with my grandparents, and I was born in Southern California. When I was just a couple of weeks old, we moved back to San Jose, which is about 50 miles south of San Francisco. And that's where I was raised, in a little town called Los Gatos that's between San Jose and the coast. It's about 20 minutes from the California coast, Santa Cruz area. And it was a lovely place to grow up, truly a lovely little suburb with I grew up in a cul-de-sac, lots of kids around, safe place to play, ride our bikes.
That kind of channel.
Very, very, very nice place to grow up.
Sounds like it. Andrea, tell us about your mom and your dad. You said your dad took the bar, so I'm assuming he passed the second time. So tell us a little bit about your mother and father.
My father was an attorney. He practiced in San Jose for close to 50 years. He did pass the second time. My dad was raised on the East Coast. His father was military, and he didn't move to California till he was in high school. My mother was from California, a third-generation California native, which makes me a fourth. There aren't many of us left. She was a housewife. She actually worked when my dad was in law school, but she wanted to stay home and take care of her children. So she did not work again until I was in high school. So she was home when I was growing up.
What type of law did your father practice, Andrea?
He started out doing criminal work, but he decided that was, because of the crazy hours and all, that was more, he said that was a single man's game. So he ended up as a general practice attorney, lots of family law, divorces, child custody. He was always with one or two partners. He didn't work for a big firm. He was always pretty much a small firm practitioner.
So it must have been awesome to grow up with your mother, a stay-home mom. Was that delightful to have her at home, or would you have rather been in daycare or out with friends or grandparents?
It was nice to have her at home. We had my dad's parents not far away, so I did spend a fair amount of time. My mother's parents lived in Southern California. We saw them, but not as much. But my dad's parents were 20 minutes away, so we saw them quite a bit. It was nice to have my mom at home. My mom's a great cook, and she always liked to bake things for us, and it was nice having her home. I was envied by my friends whose mothers worked.
I bet so. Andrea, what about brothers and sisters?
I had one of each. I'm the oldest of three. I had a brother who passed away. He took his own life in 2016 in March, and he was 3 years younger than me. I have a sister who is 6 years younger, and she lives in the Seattle area. But we are very close, and we were close before my brother died, but I think we've become even closer since he died. I wish she lived closer to me, but we talk pretty much every day.
Do you get to go and see your sister, and does she come and visit you often?
My dad is in a nursing home here in Southern California, not far from me. The last time my sister visited was in January because of COVID. Our visits to my dad have been restricted, so she has not been here since January. I saw her, my mom lives in Idaho, and I saw her at my mom's in March. The last time I visited her was at Thanksgiving last year. The last few years, I've enjoyed spending Thanksgiving with her and her family. So I do get to go and see her. With this COVID situation, I don't know when I'll see her next, but we do talk quite frequently.
But that is awesome that both your parents are still living. You mentioned that your brother passed away at his own hands, Andrea. That must have been very difficult for you and your family.
It was horrible. I would never, ever wish it on anyone. It was the worst day of my life. In our particular case, we had no clue. Often there's some warning, maybe some mental health issues or something, and we had no clue that my brother was in a bad way emotionally or that he was contemplating this. And he left a wife and three children. I had a niece. I have two nieces. One's graduated from college and is going to medical school. She starts in the fall, and the other one is in college. And I have a nephew who's going to be 17 in September. And it was very, very difficult. Fortunately, we've stayed close to my sister-in-law and her kids. She said that, you know, she took the attitude that we were still part of the family, regardless of what my brother had done. But it was very, very hard. And I miss him. I will always miss him. And there will always be a space in my heart where he lives.
I'm very sorry for that. And it must have been very difficult. And I'm very thankful to hear that your sister-in-law took that attitude, because those children are blood relation. And for you and your parents to stay in their life was very important. What about your sister? Does she have children?
She does. She has two. I have a nephew who's 21 and lives in Oregon. He went to college for a year, but decided college wasn't for him. So he's a delivery driver for a beverage company. And my niece is at Oregon State in Corvallis in Central Oregon. She started, this was her first year, and she since March, she went to school from home. She was home and doing classes remotely, but hopes to go back in September. And my sister's a physical therapist, and her husband, he drives heavy equipment for the county of Snohomish County, Washington, where they live.
COVID sure has changed everybody's lives, as we'll get on to further in the interview. So, Andrea, were you born blind, or did you go blind later in life?
I was born blind, but unlike a lot of you, I wasn't a preemie. My mother, they think, had some kind of virus when she was pregnant with me that caused my optic nerves not to develop. So I was full term and full weight and everything. But when I was 3 months old, my mother took me to the pediatrician because she just felt like something wasn't quite right. She didn't think I was deaf, but I wasn't tracking visually the way she thought I should be. And the pediatrician said, I think there may be an issue, but I want to have further study of this. So we were very fortunate to live in California, where we have excellent medical facilities, and my parents took me to the University of California at San Francisco. And the difficult thing was, because they didn't know exactly what caused my blindness, they didn't know if I would have other disabilities as well. But I'm very fortunate. I'm very physically healthy. I didn't have any other problems, and so I was really lucky that way.
So absolutely no sight, perception, anything, just total darkness, Andrea?
Correct. No light perception at all.
And you being the oldest, no other visual impairment problems with your brother or your sister?
Nope. No. In fact, when my sister-in-law was pregnant, because she had the first grandchild, she talked to me about this because my brother didn't really know what the issue was. And she had some concerns about her children, which certainly makes sense. I don't blame her. And I tried to tell her as much as I could, but no, there have been no issues at all with any of the children or my brother and sister. And I think it was just a fluky thing that happened.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your childhood. So you were born blind. You were the firstborn because you're the oldest. How did your parents deal with that, Andrea?
My mom was really proactive. My mother was my advocate. I was very fortunate to live in an area where the school system was pretty progressive, but my mom helped to start a support group for parents of blind children. She was very active. She volunteered we had a Braille library in San Jose. She volunteered in the Braille library so it could be open in the evenings. My dad was kind of a traditional dad of that era. He went out and made the money. But he was very much a part of my life too. But my mom was really my advocate. She went to bat for me quite a bit.
So did they coddle you, or were you pretty much left to be just a normal child? And what about during your childhood friends? Were you treated differently, or were you just looked at as you just couldn't see, and you were and they considered you the same as them?
I was really lucky to have sighted friends who I think tried to include me as much as they could, and I don't think my parents coddled me. I think they were certainly concerned about my safety, but they wanted me to experience as much as possible. And I really think they struck a good balance between me being safe and allowing me to do things. They trusted my friends. They trusted the kids that I knew and ran around with, that they would provide a safe environment for me. And I really feel like they did a good job.
It sounds like it, Andrea. Tell us, did you go to mainstream school, or did you attend a school for the blind?
I went to regular school. California at that point was starting to mainstream. We have a school for the blind. I would have had to live there. It was probably an hour away. But our school for the blind was transitioning to multi-handicapped. And they told my parents that they felt they did an evaluation, but they felt I was too high functioning for the school for the blind. So they sent all of the kids to one grammar school, and we were bused. My father took me in the morning on his way to work, so I was really fortunate. Unless my parents were out of town or something, I didn't have to ride the bus, because I was one of the further out kids from the school. I would have had a long bus ride, but I did have a fairly long bus ride in the afternoon. But I came home every day. I went to my neighborhood high school, and that was kind of a big thing, because I would have gone to a high school that was further away from me also. And one of my mom's complaints, I feel like I got a really good education, K-8, but her only complaint was that most of my friends didn't live near me. So she, when I got ready to start high school, she wanted me to go locally. And I could walk to school, actually. I could walk to the high school. So I went to the local high school. They called them itinerant teachers in those days because they covered more than one school. I think now they call them TVIs, Teacher of the Visually Impaired. I had good support when I was in high school for that. And the high school was very open to having me there. So I was fortunate to get, I think, a really good high school and grammar school education.
So what did you like and dislike about school, Andrea?
There was some bullying. I liked the fact that I was with sighted kids, but there was some bullying, and that was difficult. But there were other blind kids. I had a very good friend who was a year ahead of me, and we went all through to, of course, she finished eighth grade, and I still had eighth grade to go because she was 1 year in front of me. But it was nice being with sighted children and being in a regular classroom. I listened to some of the stories of people who went to the schools for the blind, and some of it sounds like a lot of fun, but some of it also sounds kind of grim. And I'm just as glad I could go home every day and be able to spend my evenings at home. But there was some bullying, and kids tend to pick on the ones that are different. So that was difficult.
Absolutely. So, you know, it could have been you could have been the shortest kid in your class, or the tallest kid in the class, or the heaviest kid. It just happens, because kids, you know, tend to say what they think. So do you really think it was because you were blind that they kind of picked on you, or it was just you were different?
I think it was because I was just different. Kids tend to single out the kids who have something different than they do. And I remember them picking on me because my eyes are rather deep set because of the muscular atrophy. My eyes are a little farther back. And I also tended to put my fingers in my eyes when I was a kid, which is something a lot of blind people do. And of course, sighted kids are going to notice things like that. That's kind of stands out. So they're going to target the kids who are a little bit different than they are.
So what about activities through school? What type of activities were you involved in? Did you play any sports, any type of music, band, anything like that?
It was hard because the school wasn't close to my home, but I was in Girl Scouts for 3 years. I played in the school band, not in high school, but in grammar school and junior high. I played flute in the band. I also sang in the choir. So I feel like I got to do a fair amount of after-school activities. Were a little hard, but band and choir were during the day, so that was good. We had a jazz band when I was in junior high, and I begged my mom to let me play in it, and it meant I had to stay after school 1 or 2 days a week, and she was willing to let me do that. And scouting was good. I think the time that I was in scouting, I didn't go all the way through it like some kids do, but I think the time I spent in scouting was good for me too.
So, Andrea, are you a cane user or a guide dog? Have you ever had a guide dog?
I have not. I am a cane user. I think I'm a decent cane user. I have good travel skills. I'm sure there are blind people who have better travel skills than I do, but mine aren't bad. I just decided that I wasn't really a dog person, and it's a big responsibility, and I feel strongly about the dogs going to people who need them and want them and are willing to be responsible for them, because there's a lot of investment that goes into training those dogs. I've seen people in my life who probably shouldn't have had them. So I just decided, although my mom would love for me to have one, I just decided that it wasn't for me.
So, Andrea, in school, what was your favorite subject? What subject did you excel in?
I loved anything to do with music, but I loved to read. So I think English was also a subject that I enjoyed because I just love to read. I took French in high school for 4 years, and I really enjoyed that. I had a super wonderful French teacher who was very supportive and very encouraging, and we were able to get lots of French books in Braille. So I was really excited about learning, and unfortunately haven't kept it up, but I really enjoyed. And I didn't want to take Spanish because everybody took Spanish. I wanted to be different. So I really enjoyed the French. But music was, I loved playing in a band and singing and all that kind of thing.
So, Andrea, in the neighborhood, you said you grew up in a neighborhood where you had a cul-de-sac, and I'm assuming you had neighborhood kids. So if they went to a school that was further away, did you still have interaction with them after school, weekends, things like that?
I did. The first really best friend that I had didn't live walking distance from me, but I did have quite a bit of interaction with her on weekends. And then my probably second really best friend that I had in my life moved into the neighboring cul-de-sac when I was 11. So that was great because I could walk to her house. She just lived around the corner. It wasn't a high traffic street. It was easy for me to walk there. And I ended up going to high school with her, which was great. Through her, I met other kids. It was really nice to have a couple of friends that I could hang out with after school and spend have night overnights with on the weekends and that kind of thing.
Are you still in contact with any of these friends today, Andrea?
I have a couple of friends that I've had since junior high. The two women that I mentioned, unfortunately, I'm not really in close touch with either one of my first two best friends. But I have a couple of really close girlfriends that I've been friends with since junior high and have stayed friends, and it's wonderful because you can't trade that history with people that you have. I mean, I have lovely friends that I've made later in my life, but they didn't know me when I was a kid, and I feel really lucky. A lot of people don't have that, and I feel really lucky to have friends that go that far back.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about your teenage years. What was it like when Andrea was a teenager?
It was hard. My parents divorced when I was 13, so that was difficult. And it was a long dragged out. It dragged out for over a year. So that was, and I bounced around a little bit. I lived with my dad for a while and then ended up back with my mom. And I liked school. And I think for me, school was a safe place. It provided a structure. And so that really helped me. But my teenagers were tough. My girlfriends had boyfriends. I didn't have a boyfriend. It's all the things that you expect to do when you're a teenager. I didn't do as much of that kind of thing. And that was kind of hard.
What about junior senior prom? Did you attend your junior senior prom, Andrea?
I did not. Unfortunately, I didn't. I did not get to go to my prom. And I, looking back, it would have been nice to do that. I don't dwell on it much, but it would have been nice to have that experience.
Well, when did Andrea start noticing boys? What age were you?
Probably early 20s. The first boyfriend that I had that was, I would say, was pretty serious was when I was 20. And I had been in college and you know, been out in the world a little bit. So I was probably a little bit of a late bloomer.
And that leads me up to my number one question. How old were you, Andrea, when you got your first kiss? And do you know where you were and who he was? Do you remember his name, I mean?
I do. I remember where I was. I was 20. I was at the Orientation Center for the Blind in Albany, California. I went there for 6 months. After my sophomore year in college, and I met my first serious boyfriend there, and that's probably an hour or so away from where I grew up, and I don't remember exactly where we were, but I do remember that that was where I had my first serious kiss.
And let's talk about further your education after high school. Talk about that, Andrea.
I did attend college. I started in the fall of 1978, and I graduated in 1983 with a bachelor's degree in psychology. I went on to attend grad school, and I started in 87, but it took me a while to finish. I finally got my marriage family therapy degree in 1997. I haven't really used it. I decided when I was doing the internship that I didn't really like it that much. Mainly what I've done since then is do technology training, which I really enjoy. But I think my education was good for me. It got me away from home, which was good. Good experience of independence. And I think a psychology background is good in whatever field you go into. It can certainly help you to maybe understand people a little bit better.
Absolutely. Why do you feel like family counseling and so forth was not your cup of tea? Did you have any particular reason?
Most people say that when they do that kind of work, that it energizes them. I found it draining. People said they thought I'd be good at it. I've always been a person that people came to in my life with problems and tried to help people and you know, talking and listening and whatnot. But it just wasn't for me. I just decided at some point, I don't know, it just didn't flow for me. And when I got into tech, I realized that I really liked it and it made sense to me. And that was what I wanted to do. I wanted to use that skill to help other people.
So let's talk about your career. After college, where's the first place that Andrea worked?
I actually worked, I moved to Southern California as part of a volunteer program that was part of the Jesuit Order of the Catholic Church. I attended two colleges, and the college I graduated from with my bachelor's degree was a Jesuit university. And so they encouraged people to sign up for this year of volunteer work experience. And I came back to Southern California with that idea in mind that I would stay for a year, and I've never left. That was in 1983 when I first moved down here. I went to work in a women's shelter, and it was for women who were single and employable that did not have children with them. And I worked there initially as a volunteer and then got hired to work there as an assistant house manager. And I was there for 10 years. I saw a little bit of everything.
Tell us one of the most memorable things that you can remember during that time working there, Andrea.
That was a hard job because you saw women in very difficult circumstances. Some of them had children who'd been taken away from them. Some of them were probably going to, due to substance abuse issues or other problems, were probably going to remain kind of marginal. But some of them hopefully, you know, we're going to better themselves as a result of staying with us and giving them a chance to get a better job or save money and get on their feet. I remember some really sad times with people who you just knew that they weren't going to make it, and maybe they even did something to get themselves asked to leave the house, and that was always really hard because we only had 10 residents, and you did get close to people. We had them for at least 3 months, if not more, and you got close to people, and it was very hard to see someone fail, especially if it was something they did to cause that failure, like hiding booze or something like that.
So what was your main responsibility during this time that you worked here for 10 years, Andrea?
I did everything. I did intake interviews, I answered the phone, I did information referral, I washed dishes. I didn't cook, but I helped wash dishes. I did whatever, depending on what time of day I worked. I started out working in the mornings, but then when I went back to college, I worked some evenings too. So I was kind of a general factotum around there. I did whatever needed doing. A lot of it was just listening, listening to the ladies, listening to them talk about whatever was going on in their lives and trying to provide, you know, support and understanding to them, whatever part of their journey they were in.
So you went back to college. You were here for 10 years. What did Andrea do after that?
I got married after I went back to college in 1987. And in 1989, I married the gentleman that I had lived with for almost 3 years. He was a bus driver. I say that because he's still alive, but he doesn't drive buses anymore. And I continued to work and went to school. And in 94, I decided to quit school for a little while. There was a lot going on in my life, and my mom wasn't well, and I just was feeling pressured and feeling like I wasn't focusing on school like I should be. And I was out for a year, and then I went back and finished and graduated at the end of 97. After I got laid off from my job at the shelter in 94, early 94, I didn't really work again until the late 90s. But I finished school. Department of Rehab paid for me to go to school to get some computer training, which I needed. I used a computer, but my training was not up to date, and I needed to learn Windows. So I went to school for a while to do that, and actually was student of the year at the ROP, Regional Occupational Program, that I attended for computer training in 1988, or 1998 and 99. So I just kind of, like I said, I didn't really work until early 2000s, but I did further my education during that time.
In the early 2000s, what did you do, Andrea?
I got a job at the local community college teaching in the continuing education program, teaching computer skills to students. And I was there for 5 years. The pay wasn't great, and I didn't feel very appreciated, so I decided to try to find, I thought if I could work for the college, maybe I could do contract work or work for other vendors doing the same thing I was doing and make more money, which is essentially what's happened. Is I've gone to where I've worked for several different licensed vendors with the Department of Rehabilitation doing job retention training. Maybe someone is losing their vision and needs a particular piece of equipment to stay in their job. I've done a lot of training in people's homes. I've done remote training, all kinds of training. And I really enjoy that work. The last couple of years have been a little sparse as far as training goes, but I think I'm sort of getting back into it now. So, and I've had other things going on in my life the last few years. So it's been okay. It's interesting how timing works out. You know, timing in your life, when you need to be doing something else, your timing kind of, God's time is usually perfect. So timing works out well in terms of, I've been fortunate enough to be able to focus on, things that I needed to do in my personal life.
Absolutely. So you are still working today, correct?
I am. I love to work, and I don't absolutely need to financially, but it's always nice to have a little extra money. And I love teaching other people how to get the benefit from technology that I have received. I really like to share that with others. I think technology is such a great thing for our blindness community. Especially recently we saw that with the online conventions, and I think we've really seen that with this last few months and the virus around. We've really seen what a benefit technology can be.
And talk a little bit about that. Andrea, you're pretty involved with the NFB, is that not correct?
I'm actually involved with the American Council of the Blind. I joined the California affiliate in 2002, and I've served as president of the Orange County chapter. I currently serve as co-chair of our state auction committee. I edit our weekly newsletter for the state. I am still president of our chapter, but I will be outgoing later this year. We will elect a new president. So I'm not a board member or anything, but I've been pretty involved with California Council of the Blind and also the ACB, the American Council of the Blind. I've attended several national conventions. I served as vice president of the technology affiliate of ACB for 4 years. It's called BITS, Blind Information Technology Specialists. So I've done a lot, and I really enjoy that. I have met all kinds of wonderful folks through ACB and CCB, and that's been a really important part of my life. And I think as I get older, spending time and interacting with other blind people has become even more important to me.
What is the, do you use JAWS or NVDA, and what is the most technical thing that you help people learn?
I use JAWS. I have NVDA, and I'm familiar with it. I have used it. I've never trained anyone to use NVDA, but I could. I think probably, I don't know, because technology, they're different things. Probably the most technical thing maybe would be the iPhone, because you can do so many things with the iPhone. I've done training with iPhone. I've done Braille note taker training as well. I've taught Braille, not a lot, but I've done some Braille teaching. But I'd say probably the most technical thing, maybe either a PC or an iPhone, because you can do so many things with those devices.
Are you married now, Andrea, and do you have children?
I do not have children. I was married for 28 years. I divorced in 2017. I'm still friends with my former husband. He lives about an hour away. I don't see him a lot, but we talk on the phone. After my brother died, I just went through some changes in my life, and I decided that the situation I was in was not really healthy for me, and that I needed to remove myself from that. So I filed for divorce in July of 2016, and it took about a year to finalize. And that was a hard year because my husband was living with me during that time. We couldn't afford for him to move out. So most of the time when you're divorcing somebody, you're not living with them. So that was a little tough at times. I think for the most part, we both tried to be respectful of each other and get along okay. And I stayed in the home that we owned. I've been in this house for 23 years. I do not have children. I have had four-legged children. I've had many, many cats over the years. So I say I have four-legged babies.
And that leads me up to my next question. Talk about your love of cats.
I just love my cats. I just have one now. I have Max. They're just, people say that cats are standoffish, cats don't have a personality. It's just, every cat is different. And they are just loving, wonderful companions. He's definitely part of my mental health system, but he doesn't need to be walked. I don't dislike dogs. I grew up with dogs, but I don't consider myself as much of a dog person. It's funny because my dad did not like cats, and we had cats after my parents divorced. My mother, we had cats when I was a teenager, but my dad did not like cats. But I've had, ever since I was, before I was married even, I've had at least one cat. We had several at times, but I decided after my divorce that one was probably enough.
So how old is Max? And you said he's black?
He is. He's four, and he's all black, except he has a little apron, a little silvery gray apron under his chin. But other than that, he's completely black. And he was a rescue kitty. I got him from the pound in 2017 when he was a year old. And he's a good boy. He's an indoor cat. He does not go outside.
Let's talk a little bit about what Andrea's hobbies are. What are your hobbies?
I love still love music. Love to engage on the site in the music events. I enjoy reading. Those are probably my two biggies. I can cook, but cooking isn't something I would say is a hobby or something I enjoy doing. But I think the music and the just interacting with people on the computer has become more part of my life the last few years, especially now. And I read a lot, so I really, really enjoy reading.
Well, anybody that knows you, and of course myself, Andrea, we know you love music. What type of genres of music do you like? And do you have a favorite?
I think my favorite is probably pop, but I like all kinds of music except rap. I understand that it's an art form, and that people have certainly things they want to express, and it's kind of poetry, can be poetic, but I don't appreciate it. I don't know enough about it to appreciate it, but I like classical music. I love country, rock. I like old jazz. But I have pretty eclectic taste.
What about a favorite artist? Who is your number one favorite artist?
That's hard to say. I really like Alan Jackson a lot as far as country. Those of you who spend any time with me, you know I'm a big fan of his. But I like the Carpenters. I like Carole King. Joni Mitchell. I tend to like folk and rock music of the 70s, probably 70s, 60s and 70s is probably my favorite era for that.
Well, I know that you attend the Pure Country event that Tomcat and Lisa Filroy host every week. So going back to old country, who's your favorite in old country?
I love Patsy Cline. I'm going to say for the moment, she's the one that comes into my head immediately. So I'm going to say she's probably my favorite because I really enjoy her music a lot.
How well did you play the flute? When you took flute, were you a really good flute player?
I think I was pretty good. I took private lessons for 6 years and played, as I said, in the school band. And I was first chair in eighth grade. I didn't play in the high school band. There were a lot of flutes. And it was a big time commitment because you had to go to all the football games and all those Saturday parades. And I did it for a semester and decided it wasn't for me. I just didn't want to be that tied down with that much stuff that I was required to do. But I think I was pretty good. I play by ear a lot. I don't play now as much as I should, but I certainly play when I get the opportunity.
Andrea, do you have a person in your life that has played a major role in your life that's a role model?
I want to say my mom. There have actually been several. I had my French teacher in high school was fabulous. He was so wonderfully supportive and encouraging. I had a lot of good teachers, but he stands out. But I think my mom, in many ways, she's partly responsible for the person that I am. She encouraged me to think for myself and speak my mind and be independent. And I feel so blessed that my mother, my parents did not hold me back in any way. They didn't try to discourage me from trying just about anything I wanted to try. I tried skiing, decided it wasn't for me. I couldn't ride a two-wheeler, but I tried to learn. I just feel like my mom was really, really there for me and really facilitated hurdles in my childhood that enabled me to become a more independent blind person.
Sounds like a great role model and that you love her very much. And both your parents are still living. How old are they, Andrea?
My dad is 89. My dad has fairly advanced Alzheimer's disease. He lives in a facility not far from me. He has a caregiver full time. Unfortunately, because of the current situation, I cannot visit him. I saw him. They opened up for a time in June. We could go by appointment only. So I did see him in June. I haven't seen him for about a month. My mom is 87, and she lives in Idaho, and she's okay. She is a heart patient. She had a valve replacement surgery 2 years ago and did very well, and she still lives in her own home. She has a roommate, as do I, and my mom's roommate kind of keeps an eye on her and makes sure that she's doing okay, but she lives in the place she wants to live, and she's still independent and still drives a bit, and is doing pretty well.
Awesome. Andrea, what keeps you busy other than your work today?
Figuring out how to get things done just during this whole COVID situation, I think has kind of kept me busy. I do a lot with the ACB community calls. I really enjoy the community calls. I struggle sometimes to stay busy because we're at home so much, but we've adjusted. I love having a roommate. I didn't know I struggled for a while whether to get someone to live in with me because I liked living alone. It didn't bother me, but I really am thankful that I have someone to talk to and someone to hang out with during this time. So that really helps too.
Do you like to travel, Andrea? And if so, if you could go anywhere in the world and money was no object, where would you go and why?
I do like to travel. I've seen a good part of the U.S. I've taken several cruises. If I could go anywhere in the world, I think I'd probably like to go to Australia, perhaps on a cruise, Australia, New Zealand. I hear it's beautiful. I've met really nice people from those countries, and I think the fact that it's on the other side of the world, it just intrigues me. I would love to visit, but they speak English, so that's kind of good. I have never been to Europe, but I've traveled pretty extensively, and I've been to Alaska and Hawaii. My ex-husband and I cruised quite a bit. So we've cruised the Caribbean. We've been to Alaska twice. Really enjoy cruising a lot and hope to get to do it. I did the Panama Canal 2 years ago with a girlfriend, and that was great. And I hope to do more cruising in the future.
Well, hopefully this COVID-19 will soon go away and we can all get back to our normal lives and you'll be able to get back to cruising again.
I sure hope so. I'd like to do that. I really think it's a neat way to travel for blind people because you see different places, but you always have the ship to go back to, and it's kind of contained. Your stuff is always where you left it, and it's a nice way for blind people to travel.
I've been on cruises myself. It is a lot of fun, and all the food. Talking about food, what is your favorite food?
I love lamb, so I'm going to say that I have lots of favorite foods, but I really enjoy lamb. I don't get to have it very often, but I really like lamb. I was raised with it and enjoy lamb chops, leg the lamb. I really enjoy that.
Andrea, is there anything in your life that you wish you could do over again?
No. Maybe if I had my education to do over, I would have taken a different tack. My mother always said she thought I'd be a good teacher, and I guess the time has borne that out. But when she said teacher, I thought of, you know, standing up in front of a bunch of grade school kids, and that wouldn't be what I'd want to do. I might have, maybe high school or college, if I had that to do over again, perhaps I might have looked at being a teacher in some different kind of setting with teens or adults.
I could see you being a great teacher, Andrea.
Thank you, Teresa Rose.
Well, we talked a little bit about the virus. How has the virus impacted your life?
I think the biggest thing is not being able to visit my father. I was very regular in visiting my dad before the virus started. He's been in a facility now for over 2 years, since April of 2018. And I've been very, very regular about my visits. I participated in some of the programs at his facility with him, music programs and exercise and different types of things. And I can't do that right now, so that's really hard. And just figuring out how to get, I have neighbors who've been very helpful. I'm fortunate I can get groceries. We live in an area where delivery of groceries and food is available, so that's really helpful. I think in Southern California, it's relatively easy to manage. There are places where those kinds of services are not available, and people in those areas are probably more inconvenienced than we are. I think staying at home is tough. I like to go out and do things and be with friends, and that's been, we've been able to do that a little bit now because we can eat outside. Not a lot of it, but done a few things. And things like getting hair and nails done is important to me, and that's been a little hard, not being able to do those things.
Absolutely. To most of us women, that has been the most difficult thing, I think. I was so happy when I was able to get my hair cut. Andrea, when did you become involved with Blind Sights? And what was the first site you joined?
I joined FTP in the early, probably 2004 or 5, but I had a lot of trouble getting onto it. I don't know why. Maybe my microphone wasn't good or something. I'm not really sure. The first site I became really actively involved in was VIP. And that was through, they used to have, I'm sure a lot of you remember, the Accessible Devices show that was in another place for a while, but then it came over here. And I remember one day I'd listened to the program and they said, you know, if you, this is where we hosted on VIP Conduit, and if you're interested in trying this site, sign up for a trial membership. Well, I was here a couple weeks and I was totally hooked. I just thought the people are so wonderful here. And I have joined a couple of other sites, but I'm not as active on those sites as I am over here. And I've been here since 2007. So I've been here quite a long time.
That was going to be my next question. So 2007, my last question before we open it up to the members, how has VIP impacted your life, Andrea?
I've met tons of nice people. I was in a relationship for a while with someone I met on this site, and I traveled to a place that I probably wouldn't have visited if it hadn't been for that. I just feel like I'm part of a larger community. ACB is also certainly part of that, but I just feel like people are here to provide support for each other. We care for each other. We're concerned about each other. I've been through a lot of heavy changes in my life, and I know others have too that are part of this site. And I know I can talk about those things with my friends. When my brother died, people were super supportive and encouraging to me, and going through my divorce and all. It's just being part of a larger group, and there's a lot of fun activities here. I enjoy the games. I love the music events, and just a lot of good people here.
I totally agree. Andrea, before I open it up to the members to ask questions, is there anything that we have not talked about in this interview that you would like to share with us?
I'd just like to share what a blessing my roommate is. I've been with me for a year. It was a year, the middle of July. I met her at the Braille Institute here in Orange County. Pat lost her vision when she was in her 50s, so her experience has been a little different than mine. But she's a wonderful person. We get along famously. And I just am, she's just a blessing in my life. I really feel that I made the right decision. I agonized over it for a while, but when I look back, I only wish I'd done it sooner.
It was God's time in Andrea, and he always is always on time. So it was the right time in your life, I am sure. So I'm glad that he blessed you with a great roommate and a good friend, it sounds like.
Yes, she's really wonderful. And we help each other. I think we're good for each other.
And that is good. Great. Andrea, this has been wonderful. I have learned so much about you that I did not know. I knew a little bit about you, but this has really opened up who Andrea DeClance is. And I want to thank you again for agreeing to be my VIP of the month of July. And absolutely a wonderful life and a lot to be very proud of, Andrea. At this time, we're going to open up to the members the queue to ask Andrea questions. So if you have a question, please key up one at a time and let Andrea answer your question before the next person keys up. Okay, who has the first question for Andrea tonight?
Andrea, did you happen to mention your favorite book or your author?
That's a tough one, Connie. I like most genres. I'm not into science fiction particularly or Westerns, but I like pretty much any other. I read nonfiction, I read fiction, so it's hard to say a favorite author. I have a lot of favorite authors, but I like a very like music. I like a very wide variety of reading material.
Hi, Andrea. This is Debbie. Very nice getting to know you even more. You and I have a lot in common. Actually, we'll have to talk sometime. Is there anything on your bucket list that you didn't mention? I know you said travel, but is there anything else on your bucket list that you haven't done yet?
I did a big one in 2018, going to the top of the arch in St. Louis. That was something that was actually on my bucket list that I got to do. No, I don't think so, Debbie. I think I've gotten to do a lot of the things that I want. I'd like to go to Europe. I don't know if I'll get there, but I would say that's probably, even if I just went to England and Scotland, I'd really like to visit Europe, and I have not been there yet. So maybe that's on my horizon.
Anybody else have a question for Andrea? Now's the time.
Andrea, you say you belong to ACB. Do you attend the national conventions, and do you have a local chapter that you belong to?
Yes, we have an Orange County chapter that is an affiliate of the California Council of the Blind. I have attended 8 in-person national conventions, and my first virtual convention this year. I'm planning, hopefully, if we're meeting next year, I plan to go to Phoenix. So I hope that we're able to meet. But I have been to 8 national conventions and probably a couple of dozen state conventions since I joined in 2002.
Anybody else have a question for Andrea?
Yeah, you said you like music. Do you like anything by Taylor Swift? I love Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift is good, yeah. And my sister took my niece to see her a few years ago and said it was one of the best shows she's ever seen. So apparently she puts on quite a show. I was lucky enough to see Celine Dion in Las Vegas in 2007, and she was fabulous. I feel so blessed to have been able to see her. She was amazing.
Sounds like our interview answered all their questions, Andrea. Again, Andrea, thank you so much for agreeing to be the VIP for the month of July. I really appreciate it. Great interview. I would like to announce that next month, for the month of August, our VIP of the month will be our own Guitar Charlie Barnett from Texas. So be looking for that in the last Monday in August. We'll be getting together to interview Charlie.
Great interview. Andrea, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and boy, I learned a lot of things about you, and looking forward to next month too, Teresa Rose.
Thank you very much, Andrea and Teresa, for a great interview.
I enjoyed it a lot, Andrea. It was really, really great. I'm glad to have met you and to have spent some time with you and things like that, and it's just neat to even know more about you.
Thank you, Andrea and Teresa Rose, always. Hugs.
Thank you both very much. It was great. Enjoyed it.
And again, thank you, Andrea. Andrea, I'm going to let you introduce your favorite song, which is coming up next. Tell the little story that you told me about this song.
I have lots of favorite songs, but this is the one I remember the furthest back. When I heard it, I just thought, oh my gosh, I really like that song. And it is We'll Sing in the Sunshine by Gail Garnett.
Sunshine, we'll laugh every day, we'll sunshine, then I'll be on my way. I will never love you, the cost of love's too dear.
Interview. Thank you, everybody, for coming out to the event tonight. Be safe and stay cool, and God bless.
This has been a presentation of VIP Congress.